We begin the current daf Masechtas Megillah daf Yedalet. Begin 8 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues expounding on the Psukim in the Megillah of Esther, where we're up to in the narrative where after HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makdim refu l'maka, Mordechai was ready in place because he saved Achashverosh's life. Now starting the third parak in the Megillah of Esther, then Achashverosh started upgrading the status of Haman, and Haman wanted to kill the Jewish people. So it says in the Pasuk, V'yasar ha-melech ha-tabatai, so the king took off his ring from his hand, he gave it to Haman ben Amadasa, the Agogi, the enemy of the Jewish people, who he was trying to use that as to seal the letters that the entire world, they should wipe out, chas Hashem, the Jewish people. So Amar Baba Bar Kahani says, G'doyla ha-saras tabaz, it was greater the removing of the ring from Achashverosh's finger, it was more effective than the 48 prophets and the 7 prophetesses that prophesied for the Jewish people. As he says, all of them couldn't get the Jewish people to get better and come back to Hashem. But just the removing of the ring brought them back. Whereas the Megillah Esther brings that they made on themselves fast to repent, like it says, they were fasting, they were crying, they were mourning, sak for Efer, they had the sackcloth and the ashes because they knew the imminent danger, that just removing the ring was more effective than all these 48 prophets and the 7 Neviyas. Now, related to that, Tarban went to Braisim, that Arbam Mishmain and Nevim Vishab and Neviyas, like we said, there were 48 prophets and 7 female prophet is that Nisnabalem Yisrael that prophesied for the Jewish people. And in all these prophets, no one added or diminished anything from what was written in the Torah. Chutz Mimikra Megillah, the one exception is actually related to the Purim story, where they instituted a mitzvah that wasn't there before, the reciting of the Megillah. Now, if one's going to say, what's with the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? That was already after the days of the prophets in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash. But in the days of Mordechai, there were still prophets of Chag Yizchar Malachi. So even though in all of the history, the prophets didn't add anything, the one exception was Mikra Megillah. Says the Gemara Maidosh, what did they expound to see fit to add on a mitzvah where they never did that before? So Amar B'chiyah Bar Avin, Amar B'yishub Ben Karchi says, because they made the following Kal V'chaymer. Umah me avdus l'cheres, if when the Jewish people went from slavery to freedom, when they left Egypt, when they left Mitzrayim. Amrin and Shira, they sang song by the sea, the Shiras Hayam. So of course we have to institute a song, we have to celebrate going from death to life, which was that Haman wanted to wipe out the whole Jewish people. For sure there has to be something that we have to institute. So therefore they made the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. But says the Gemara, but if that's the case, then Hal Naminema. What do you mean? They should also say Hal on Purim, which we don't, which that's Shira, that's a song, just like they had by the Yamsuf, which was a Shira. Says the Gemara, no, lefisha in oimrim hal al nesha b'chutz la'aretz. You're right, the Kal V'chaymer would say we should say hal, but one does not recite hal for a miracle that happens out of Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, but yitzis mitzrayim nesha b'chutz la'aretz. The leaving of Egypt was a miracle that happened out of Eretz Yisrael. Hey, chamrin and shira, how do we say over there shira, which was the shira sayam, that they sang a song by the Yamsuf? So says the Gemara, because kiditan like learned a b'raisa. Actually, nichnasu Yisrael la'aretz, before the Jewish people ever came to Israel, hochshru kol aratzis lemeshir. So all the lands, when there's a miracle that happens over there, was fit to say a song to Hashem. But mishen nichnu, that which was by Yitzis Mitzrayim before they ever came into Eretz Yisrael. Mishen nichnasu Yisrael la'aretz. But once the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael, lehochshru kol aratzis lemeshir. Then all other lands for miracles that happened over there is not fit to sing a shira. And this story was after the Jewish people was after the Churban Beis Harishon, was after the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, we don't say howl on Purim. Second interpretation of Nachman, he says, no, actually we do say Hal on Purim. What does that mean? Kriyas Zuhi Leila, the reciting of the Megillah of Esther, which is celebrating that miracle, is the Hal, is praising Hashem for the, it's done in a concealed way, like the miracle was concealed, but essentially that is the Hal that we do on Purim. A third interpretation, Rav Ami says, you're right, we should say Hal, but we can't. Because Bishlam Hasam, we understand over there, where it says a pasuk in Tehillim, Hallo Yabde Hashem. We say Hal by miracles, like by the Yom Tov Pesach, the miracle of Yitzis Mitzrayim, because they say Hallo Yabde Hashem. The servants of Hashem should praise Him, which is telling us because Veloy Yabde Pari, but because they're not the slaves of Pari anymore, they're the slaves of Hashem, because they went out to freedom. So it would make sense to say the Psukim of Hal. Allah, but over here by the miracle of Purim, Hallo Yabde Hashem, what are you going to say? Praise you, the servants of Hashem, which is coming to say, V'lo Yabde Achashverosh, and that you're not the servants of Achashverosh. But it's not true. Akati Yabde Achashverosh Anan. We're still the servants of Achashverosh because they were only redeemed from being killed out, but they weren't redeemed from still being in subservience to the Persian monarchy, and therefore that's a reason why they couldn't say Hal. Now, the Gemara asks, Bein L'Rava, Whether according to the interpretation of Rava that he says that the reason why we don't say Hal is because we're still Abdei Chashverish, but if not for that, we would say Hal. And Bein Rav Nachman, that he said that, yeah, we do say Hal, because the Kriyas Megillah is a Hal. So Kashya, it's difficult, because Vatan, you learned the Brisa that said, Mishnech Nusularitz, as recorded before, once they came into Eretz Yisrael, Lo Yuchshru Kalaratzis Lemeshira. You can't say miracles that are outside Eretz Yisrael. How could they say that we would, or we are, but the Brisa says you can't? Says the Gemara, no. Kivin Shagalu, because once they were exiled from Eretz Yisrael, which the story of Purim was after they were exiled from Eretz Yisrael, so Chazru Lechshein Arishna went back to its original ability to celebrate and say Hallel for a miracle that happens out of Eretz Yisrael. Just like before they went in, once they were exiled, they went back to that state. It's only when they're in Eretz Yisrael, then it's not viable, any miracle out of Eretz Yisrael. But the Gemara asks, going back to what we said before, the Suleka, were there no other prophets besides, like we said, 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'is? But v'ksiv, there's a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph that says, v'hi ish echad min ha-remesayim tzeifen. There was one man from remesayim tzeifen. Now, what does that mean? So the interpretation is, he was echad mimesayim tzeifen. Remesayim is like with the word mesayim. He was one out of the 200 prophets, shenisnabu lemli saw, that were prophets for the Jewish people. How can you say only 48 when this pasuk is alluding to this individual that was one out of 200, that there was 200 prophets? So it says the Gemara, you're right. Mehava tuvahava. Prophets that had divine inspiration, there were many. Kedetan, like Lina Brisa. Harbin Nevim Amdulam Lisa. There were many prophets that were there for the Jewish people. Keflaim Kiyat Mitzrayim, double the amount of Jews that left Egypt, which there were 600,000 men between 20 and 60, and double were that of how many prophets the Jewish people had. Ella, however, what we're referring to is Nevua Shahutzuch L'Doris Nichtava. The prophecies that were necessary for the future of old Jewish time, which are those that are written down, which are there to teach us regarding repentance or teaching us some type of a law, which are the 48 prophets that we mentioned, those are the ones that are written down. That's what we meant that there's 48. But for Shlehut Sukhulay Nechta, but those which are not necessary for future generations were not written down. And Rashi brings from the Brice of Seyda Olam, he goes through who were the 48 prophets in old time. Another interpretation regarding the Pasuk, we brought this Pasuk to show that it seems to be there were more than 48 prophets, which the Gemara answered that question and says, yes, but they weren't written down and documented for all times. B'Shmuel ben Nachmani, he gives a different interpretation in that Pasuk. He says, what does it mean, Echad min ha-Mersayim Tzayfim? It means, Adam haba mishtei ramos. It's a man who came, Ramasayim is like a plural of Rama. A person, it's referring to a person who came from two heights, meaning two mountains, should tzayf a zu, that says tzayfim, that because you could see one from the other. So he's from a place where you have these two elevated places that could see each other. So it's just talking about the geography of where he came from. Reb Chanan, he gives a different interpretation. It's talking about Adam, a person, habobim ne Adam, that came from people, sha'im de merum shalom, that they stood on the elevated heights of the world. And who's that referring to? Who were his grandfathers? B'nei Karach was referring to the sons of Karach. That's something his pasuk says in Bamidbar. U'b'nei Karach le'meisu. Although all the family of everything of Karach got swallowed to the ground, the sons of Karach didn't die. Now, Tanu Moshe Rabbeinu, we learned in the name of our teacher. What happened? Didn't they all get swallowed into the ground, into the pit, into Gehenna? So it's brought that Makom Nispatzelem b'Gehenna. There was a place that was Nispatzel, which means like a height. The top part of Gehenna was kept for them, va'amdulav, and they stood on that. So therefore, they're in like the heights of the world, of the netherworld, of like Gehenna, and their grandchildren was this individual that we're talking about. So it's a description of his yichus that we're saying that there was one man, mirsayim tzeifim, from those who were left on the heights, which we're referring to b'nei Karach. Now the Gemara, seven nevi'is maninu, who were these seven prophetesses that were there for the Jewish people? So there's Sarah, Miriam, Devira, Chana, Abigail, Chulda, the Esther. So the Gemara explains how we know this. Sarah, which was the wife of Avram Avinu, Sarah Menu, the Chulda, says the Pasuk in Bereishit, says that Haran, which was one of the three brothers, was Avi Milka v'Avi Yiska, was the father of Milka, the father of Yiska, and then Avram married Yiska. Now Avram Rav Yitzchak, he says, who's Yiska? Who's Sarah? So, V'lam Nekrishma Yiska, why was she called Yiska? Shesach Sabruch HaKadosh, because Seicha means to look, that she was able to see with divine inspiration. How do we know that? Like it says in the pasuk, Hashem told Avraham Avinu, "Kol asher tomer lecha Sarah, whatever Sarah your wife tells you, Shema b'kol, listen to her, because she's speaking with divine inspiration." That's how we know that she was a neviah. Now, Dava Acha, different interpretation in that pasuk is that no, Yiska actually is shakol seichem biyafi. Everyone would look at her in her beauty. And Miriam dichsev. How do we know Miriam was a prophetess? Like it says the pasuk in Shemais. It says v'tikach Miriam hanavi achis Aaron. That Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, she took whatever etc. that the pasuk is talking about. But the main thing is that we see that she was Naviyah. But the Gemara asks a question on the pasuk, which actually will allude to this element of her prophecy. Well, she was only the sister of Aaron, v'lo achis Moshe. There was three siblings. She wasn't the sister of Moshe Benim. So on that, Rav Nachman the Merabi says. Her prophecy was when she was only a sister of Aaron, when Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't born yet. Because Vaymeres, she said, which was her prophecy, Asida imi she'teled ben, my mother is going to end up giving birth to a son, she'ashias is all that he's going to save the Jewish people. Now, when Moshe Rabbeinu was later born, the whole house was filled with light. So Amar Aviya ben Ashkal Resha, her father went and kissed her on her head, and Amalah, he said to Abiti, my daughter, your prophecy has come true. But v'kivin sheshlichu liyar, like the narrative is brought in the Torah, once Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown into the river, so amar aviyah b'tzvach al resha, so her father came and slapped her on the head, v'amalai said to abiti heichin nevoasech, my daughter, where's your prophecy? Look, there's no savior of the Jewish people. He's about to die. Heindach said, that's what the pasuk says over there, when he was in the river, v'tisatzav achisim erochig ledeya, that his sister was standing from afar to see what's going to happen. What does that mean? What's Ladea? Ladas ma yehei b'sif nubuasa, to see what's going to be the end of her prophecy, because her prophecy one, he's going to save the Jewish people, and here it seems like he's going to die. That's where we see that Miriam was a Nevi'ah. Devaira, the chesiv, like it says, the pasuk in Sefer Shaftim. So the Devaira ish Nevi'ah, that Devaira was a woman that was a prophetess, ish is Lapidus. So although simply it means that she was the wife of Lapidus, that was his name, but the Gemara asks, my ish is Lapidus, if it's talking about it, oftentimes it's describing the person. Like we said previously, that when it says the son, the father, different names, it's really referring to the person itself. What does it mean? She was a woman of Lapidus. It means shahisa isa pesilus lamikdash. She would make Lapidus is like the flame. She would make the wicks for the mikdash, meaning for the mishkan shili that she was in those days. She would make the wicks, and therefore she was called a woman of the flame. Now it says, v'hi yosheves tachas tema, that she would sit beneath the palm tree. It says, g'ma maishna tachas tema. Why would Devari specifically sit under a palm tree? So Rabbi Shimon ben Avshalmi says, m'shum yichud, because of the prohibition of seclusion of a man and a woman, where people would come and men would come and consult with her and talk with her. So a palm tree is very tall and doesn't have shade, so a man cannot be secluded with her as possibly would be in the house. So therefore, she would sit beneath a palm tree. Tavach, a different interpretation, it was symbolic. Which is ma tamer ze'in le'ela leve echa, just like the palm tree only has what's called quote, one heart, meaning trees have sap in them. Now, but in many trees, it goes into the branches. But in the palm tree, it stays in the trunk along its whole height. And that's like there's only one heart. It's all in the center. Afisol shabayis adar, so to the Jewish people in that generation, they also only had one heart to their father in heaven. That was the symbolism of that she sat beneath a palm tree. Now, Chana, how do we know that Chana, who is the mother of Shmuel, as is brought in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, it says in the pasuk, "V'tispal Chana b'tamer." So Chana prayed and she said, "Alatz libi b'Hashem, my heart rejoices in Hashem. Rama karni b'Hashem, my horn is elevated in Hashem." What does that mean? Rama karni. She was saying that my horn is elevated. V'loy Rama pachi. And my flask is not elevated. Meaning, this was her prophecy that she prophesied regarding Shaul and Yehu, that they're going to be anointed from a flask, and their kingdom is not going to last. That is, David and Shlomo, when they were anointed with the oil, they were anointed from a horn. So, Nimshach HaMachus, that's what Rama Karni. When it's a Karen, then it's going to be elevated, their kingdom lasted. Shol v'yehu, shenimshachu b'pach, they, as the pasuk says, they were anointed from a flask, le'nimshach HaMachus, their kingdom didn't last, and that was the prophecy she was alluding to with Rama Karni. Now afterwards it says in her prayer, she said, "In Kaddish Kashem, there's no one as holy as Hashem, ki im biltecha, because there's no one beside you." Now Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Menashe says, "Al tikri biltecha, don't read it besides you, ela lebaleischa, rather to outlast you." Which is shleiki midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas bas avdam. She was talking about in the praise of Hashem, the measurement of Hashem is not the same as the measurement of a flesh and blood in the human being. That is midas bas avdam, the way it works with a flesh and blood, maisi yadav meval noisa. The creation, the handiwork of that flesh and blood could outlast that person. Of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but regardless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mevala Maisiyadav, he outlasts the things that he makes. Moreover, she said, Ve'ein Tzur Kelekenu, there's no rock like our God. So he says, there should be read, Ein Tzair Kelekenu, there's no artist like our God, which is as follows. Adam Tzar Tzur Agabekais, a person could engrave an image on a wall, but Ve'ein Yochel Lahatla Baruch HaNashom, he cannot put a spirit and a soul into that image. Kerevayim B'nei Mayim, cannot put an intestines and stomachs in there. But regards to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzar Tzur B'Teich Tzur, he creates a form inside a form, which a child is born, is conceived in the woman. Umata Baruch Hashem, and he puts inside of it a spirit and a soul, Krevayim and Mayim, intestines and all inner organs inside the thing that he's creating. So this was all the conclusion of this, that we see the Chana was a prophetess. Avigail Siv, how do we find that Avigail, who was the wife of Naval, how do we know that she was a Neviah? Like it says the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. It says, V'hayihi recheves al-chamar, that she was riding on the donkey, where she was trying to save her husband from David, who wanted to have her husband killed. But you read this Pasei Sahar, she was coming down in the seclusion of the mountain. Now, the Gemara asked Pasei Sahar, in the hiddenness of the mountain. Minahar Mebailish, it said she was coming down from the mountain. So Amar Rabbi Bar Shmuel, he says, al-iske dam, it's alluding to something else. It's regarding the idea of the blood, habom min hasasram, which comes from the private places, which is not ladam beherasale. She was showing her uterine blood. She was showing from the general area her blood and showing it to David to see if this is damnid or not. So that's what's referring to besay sahar in the concealed parts of her body. She was coming to show him the blood. So Allah, he said to her, dam balayla. Do we inspect and analyze if it's menstrual blood at nighttime? Whereas the pasuk says over in Shmuel Aleph that he was saying, if I'm going to leave novel till the morning light, I'm going to kill him all out. Now, obviously, this was happening at nighttime. Now, that's what he was telling Tahar. Do we inspect the blood at nighttime? If it's Tamei or Tahar, you have to be able to differentiate and see what the color exactly is. If it's from the five shades of Tamei blood from a woman. So what are you showing me this blood at nighttime? So Amar Lei, she said to him, and this is what she was doing this for. Do we advocate capital punishment cases at nighttime? The pasuk says in Yirmiyah, dinu la baikri mishpat. And it says in Bamidbar Chafei, v'hei ka'isim l'shem neged hashemesh. It has to be during the daytime. How are you going to say you're going to kill my husband and decide he should be worthy of death here at nighttime? On that Amar Lei, he said to us, we continue to midbeis. No. Murid b'malchasu. Your husband is rebelling against the king, which what David was. He doesn't have to be judged. You're right, a court case can only be at nighttime. He doesn't have to be a Murid b'malchus, they could just kill him. And Adam Alechi said to him, but a dying Shaul Kayim, Shaul HaMelech, is still around. Although you're supposed to take over, but Shaul is still there, and your name has not gone out into the world, you don't have the full-fledged rights of the king to consider my husband as a Murid b'malchus. So Malachi said to her, as it says over there in the Pasuk, Baruch Taimich, your reasoning is blessed, Ubruchat, you're blessed. Ashekelisina Yemezeh, that you held me back this day, Mivai Badam, from coming into bloods. Now, the Gemara asks, Damim Tarti Mashma, when that's in the plural, from coming into bloods, if anything, there's one bloods, from Shvichas Dam, from having killed her husband inappropriately. Rather, as the Gemara is going to explain, she held him back from two bloods. Additionally, the Dam of Nida, from having relations with her as a Nida. As the Gemara says, El Malamet Shagilse Es Shaker. Rather, this comes to tell us that it happened that her thigh of her body was revealed, and David saw her and desired her and propositioned her, but she didn't listen, as the Gemara is going to conclude, and therefore she saved him from two bloods, from murdering her husband and from having relations with her as a nida, because he desired her. V'halach l'ur gimel parsais, and he went after her light for a distance of three parsa. Amalai said to Hashmili, listen to me, submit to me, I want you to be intimate with me. So Amalai, she said to him, as the pasuk says, loitia zeis l'chalapuka, this should not be for you a stumbling block. Now, the inference is, and this is her prophecy, Zeis, this, having relations with me, that we shouldn't have that as a stomach block. But Machlal de'ikka achriti, but the inference is that there's going to be another time that she's prophesizing that David will stumble on cohabitation. Umayni, what's that? That's Maisa de Batsheva. That's the inference with Batsheva. Umaskana achriyav, and that was what ended up being, that he did stumble by with Uriah and having him killed and having relations with Batsheva. So obviously she was a prophetess because her prophecy ended up coming true. Now, additionally, she said over there, "Bohesi nefesh adoni, let the soul of my master be tzru b'tzrachaim, be bundled in the bundle of life." Now, the Gemara tells us, "Kavas miftur mine," when she was taking leave of David, Amrle, she said to him, "V'heitav Hashem l'adoni, let Hashem do good to my master, v'zachartes amasecha, and you should recall your maidservant," meaning referring to herself. So, Amr of Nachman, he says, "Haindam mitchi," this is what people say, "Itza bahadi shusa," a woman, as she's talking, "filcha," she's spinning, meaning she's spinning the threads. In other words, when she's talking about saving her husband, she's still mentioning herself that if he's going to die, that David should marry her. And similarly, ikadami, that those that say, shafal va'azi bar'avza, that the goose walks with his head down, but ve'inoyi mitayfa, but his eyes are looking out to the distance. Meaning she's like, yeah, as if, but she's looking to the future, saying, okay, you know, if anything happens, I want you to go ahead and marry me. Chulda, how do we know the chulda was in Nevi? As the pasuk says in Malachim Beis, it says, that the Shafin, Vasoya, they all went El Chulda Hanaviyah. So it says clearly that Chulda was a prophetess. Now, the question is, when Yirmiyah Hanavi was around, how was Chulda being a prophetess? In other words, Yirmiyah became the Navi in the 13th year of Yeshua HaMelech. Like it says in the Pasuk, in Yirmiyah, in the beginning of the Sefer, Shahid Devar Hashem Yirmiyah, there was in the 13th year of Yeshua when he became a king. Now, this incident that's talking about that they went to Chulda Hanaviyah was regarding the Sefer Torah that they found that was opened up to the rebuke about the Jewish people, all the bad that's going to happen to them. So they wanted to go to the prophet to realize what was this message. This was in the 18th year of Yeshua, which was 5 years after Yirmiyah became the Navi. So it was around this that they sent the message to Chulda. But the question is, how when Yirmiyah is around, how could Chulda be a Naviyah when Yirmiyah is the Navi for the Jewish people? So Army Bey Rav, Mishmed Rav, so in the Yeshiva of Rav, they said the name of Rav, Chulda Kravis Yirmiyah, he said Chulda was a relative of Yirmiyah, but Lahava Makbidala, and didn't bother him that she was also a prophetess. Therefore, she was also prophesizing. But says the Gemara, but Yeshiyah Gufa, Yeshiyah HaMelech himself, how did he leave when he has a question of prophecy? How did he leave Yirmiyah Umashad L'Gabba and send the question to Chulda? So Amid Bei Reb Shila, in the Yeshiva Reb Shila, they said, because women are more merciful, and they wanted to get, according to some, the interpretation is a more merciful interpretation from Chulda, therefore they sent it to her. Reb Yechid gives a different interpretation. It says, no, Yirmiyah have a hasam. At that time, Yirmiyah wasn't around. He went to bring back the 10 tribes that were exiled by in the previous exile by the king of Ashur. So they were taken away. He went to then bring them back. And therefore he wasn't around. Therefore they had to ask Chulda. And says, how do we know that he brought them back? Like it says the pasuk in Yechezkel. It says, whoever's going to sell, he's not going to go back to what he sold. This was a prophecy that Yechezkel Hanavi prophesied during the 11 years that was between Golas Yechonya, which is the first exiles we mentioned in the previous daf, to the destruction of Yerushalayim, which was 11 years later. Now, he prophesies that there's not going to be Yovel anymore. So if you're going to sell your field, it's not going to come back to you. Now, the question is, Efshar Yovel Batel, is that really so that Yovel was already nullified years before when the 10 tribes had gone into exile in the days of Chizkiyah? Because the Pasuk of the Bikur Chafei, Yovel is L'chol Yeshvehu, which is only at a time when all the inhabitants of the Jewish people are in Eretz Yisrael, not when some of them were exiled. So in the days of when the Shevet Reuven and Gad and the half of Shevet Menasheh were already exiled, and they already lost the laws of Yovel, so the Navi, so then the prophet of Yechezkel, the Misnabilab, is going to be prophesizing at a later point in time, years later, Sheyavatel, that's not going to be around anymore. How do we understand it? Elamalamet, Sheyirmi Hechzim, rather comes to teach us that Yirmi actually brought them back. And when did he go to bring them back? The year that they found the Sefer Torah, which was the 18th year of Yeshua HaMelech, and that's when they sent the question regarding what do we do with the Sefer Torah, regarding its ominous message to Chulda, because Yirmi wasn't around. Now, we continue with that Yeshua ben Amon Malach Alein. And Yeshua HaMelech, the son of Amon, he ruled over them, meaning the 10 tribes came back, and then they started counting the Yovel. They only got a chance to count another 5 Shemitahs until the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now, how do we know that he ruled over all the 10 tribes, not just that of Malchus of Yehuda, but also what was called Malchus Yisrael, that at one point the Davidic dynasty was split, and he then went and ruled over all them? Because the Chassid, like it says in the Pasuk, in Malachim Beis, which is told regarding Yeshua HaMelech, that it says when he was in Beisel, that he burnt the bones of the priest of Beisel on the Mizbech that Yeravim had made, which was regarding idolatry, which was from the Malchus Yisrael. The Yemeni said, Mahatzin Halaz, what's this marker over here, Shani Roy, that I see? And the men of the city said to him, Hakever, it's the grave of Ish Elohim, the man of God, Asher Ba'am Yehuda, that came from Judea, from Yehuda. That he recited the words, these words that you did on the altar in Beisel. And the question, however, is, what is this that regarding Yeshua, Al Mizbech Beisel, regarding the altar in Beisel? But that's the region of the Malchi Yisrael, where Yeravim had made his golden calf, and regarding the altars that he had over there, what was Yeshua doing over there? This was not his region. El Malamet, Yeshua Malchalin, rather, comes to teach that he ultimately did become king over all the Jewish people. And again, that was what Yirmiyah was busy doing, and therefore they ultimately did get back to the laws of Yabel, which then later was suspended again. Rav Nachman HaMemhachi brings a different source, a pasuk in Hosea, that says, Gam Yehuda, also Judea, which is referring to Yeshua HaMelech, who is the king of Yehuda, Shas Katzilach, you're going to have harvest for you, which means to say that he's going to become great, great king and have great success. B'shuvi shvus amu, when I bring back the captivities of my people, which refers to the Aseres HaShvatim, that then he's going to be great because he's going to be ruling over all of them. So again, therefore, we see he ruled over all of them, and that was what Yirmiyahu was there, and for therefore they went to Chuldah instead. Now Esther, how do we know that Esther was a Neviah? Looks like it says the pasuk in the Megillah, says Vehiba Yemeshlishi was on the third day, but Tilbash Esther Malchus, which they had fasted for 3 days on the third day, then Esther clothed herself with royalty, and she was going to show herself to Achashverosh to beg and beseech to try to save the Jewish people. Now, why does it say that she wore Malchus? Big day Malchus bin Bailey, it's missing a word. It should say that she wore the royal garments. Why, what does it mean that she wore royalty? So Elisha lavashta ruach hakodesh, because the royalty we're talking about over here is not clothing. She enclothed herself with the divine spirit. How do we know this? Because Ksiv Halach says over here by Tilbash that she enclothed herself. Ksiv Asim says over there, pasuk Divrei Yom Aleph, v'ruach lavsha es Amasa begaymer, that Amasa clothed himself with a spirit. So we see that clothing oneself, if it doesn't say a garment, it can be regarding a spirit, because she clothed herself with the divine spirit. That's how we know that she was a Nevi'ah, she was a prophetess. Now, parenthetically, now that we mentioned the seven prophetesses, Amar of Nachmi says, Lo yo yihu rusa l'nashi. It's not appropriate that a woman should have arrogance. That's not appropriate for a woman at all. Why? Because he says, Tarti nashi yihirin havin. There were two women that were very distinguished. Visan and Shemayu, and their names are repulsive. Chodesh maziburta. We see one of them, their name was a bee, which that refers to Devair, which is a bee. V'chodesh makakushta, one of them, the name was a weasel, which is Chulda. Why? Why do they have these repulsive names? Because we see that the arrogance got to them. It's not appropriate for a woman to have that. As the Gemara says, Ziburtik Siv, but regarding the one that was the bee, meaning regarding the Vaira, it says regarding her, V'tishlach v'tikra l'barak. She sent for and she called for Barak. Now, Barak was a great man. V'ila ihila azlegabe. She didn't go to him. She sent for him. Which, that's not appropriate. So therefore, she had that repulsive name. So to Karkushtik Sibba, regarding the weasel, meaning regarding Chuldah, it says regarding her, Imru ish, say to the man. And she didn't say Imlu Melech, we're talking about a king, Yeshio. She didn't say that, so we see that because of the arrogance that got to them, that's not appropriate for women, therefore they had these repulsive names. Now additionally, Umar of Nachman, he says, Chuldah, that was one of the seven prophetesses that we mentioned, Mimnei Banav Shel Yeshua Haisa. She was from the grandchildren of Yeshua. How do we know that? Ksiv Halacha says over here in Pasuk Melachim Beis Ben Charchas. Now, although actually when it's told that the son of Charchas is referring to her husband, but as we said, oftentimes it mentions names, significance of the primary characters to talk about their actions. So it was a reference to Chuldah. Now, Ksiv Hasim says over there, Pasuk in Sefer Shaftim, where it talks about that they buried Yeshua in the boundary of his ancestry, Betimnas Cheres. So there it says Cheres, by Chuldah it says Charchas, to tell us that she was from the descendants of Yeshua. However, Esve Rav Eina Saba l'Rav Nachman, Rav Eina the elder asked Rav Nachman that Shmoina Neviim v'him Kahanim. We have a brayse that says there were eight prophets, which were all Kahanim, and Yatsum Rachav Zayna, that they all came out from Rachav the Zayna, who was the innkeeper with the famous story that they came to Eretz Yisrael and they wanted to know what to do, and this one innkeeper, the prostitute, that of Rachav, let them in, and she had the merit of having eight descendants that were prophets that were Kahanim. Ve'elohen, and they are Neriya, Baruch, Usaraya, Machseya, Yirmiya, Chilkiya, Chanamal, Veshalom. Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Af Chuldah HaNaviyah. He says that actually even Chuldah the prophetess was also Mnei Baneha Shal Rachav HaZayna HaYisa. She was also from the grandchildren of Rachav the Zayna. Because Ksiv HaChad says over here by Chuldah Ben Tikva, which again is referring to her. But Ksiv HaSim said over there in Sefer Yeshua, where it talks about this story that the spies told to Rachav, said to her, look, we're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, and as tikvas chut hashani, the cord of this red thread, you should tie in the window that we came down from, and we're going to know that it's your house, we're going to keep your whole family alive, to reward her for what she did to them. But one thing we see is that it says the word tikva over there. By Rachav, it says tikva over here, by Chuldah, so we see that she was a grandchild of Rachav. So which one was it? You're saying it's Yeshua, but here the Brayse is saying it's from Rachav. So Amalei, so he responded to Rav Eina, he says, Eina Saba, Eina the elder, Ramalan, some say that he actually told him, Pusya Uchma, the black vessel, says, Mini Manach, Tishtai Mishmaitse. Yeah, for me and you, the topic will be concluded. In other words, through both our interpretations and our sources, the truth will come out, because actually both were true. The Igaria, Venas, Yeshua. Rachav converted and ended up marrying Yeshua. So yeah, she's a descendant, Chuldah, from Yeshua and from Rachav. It says the Gemara, Mihav Leizar Yeshua, did Yeshua have descendants? But the Pasuk says in Divrei Yamim, it says Nun Benoi, Yeshua Benoi. When it's talking about the Yichus of the Shevet Ephraim, so the Pasuk goes to Nun, and their son Yeshua, and from Yeshua on it doesn't say any descendants. So how could it be that they're from the descendants of Yeshua? Says the Gemara, B'nei lo havalei. He didn't have sons, and it was only talking about male descendants over there. But Binson havalei, but he had daughters, and from that, those daughters came out, this Chuldah, who was from this marriage of both Rachav and Yeshua ben Nun.